Production. Recorded live.
Amen. So I want to get started with what this class is, because it's good for us to start there about what this school of prophets is. There are many schools of prophets today, and they fall under those lines that we were talking about a few minutes ago, the prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, and the P-R-O-F-I-T. Okay, and so we want to make sure that we fall under the right lines, because we want to be men and women of God that are following after the Lord. Amen. And we're doing what God has called us to do. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen. All right, so right now I want you to understand that this class is a place to learn to walk in integrity as a fivefold ministry gift to the body of Christ. And that's what you got to understand. That's what this is about. This is not about trying to show you how to blow your name up, or show you how to, you know, use certain catchphrases so we learn how to manipulate people and get money in our pocket, you know, and try to make ourselves into something that we're not. The main purpose is so that we can learn how to walk in integrity. You have a lot of people who call themselves prophetic people or fivefold ministry gifts, and there's no integrity. They don't live in integrity. Amen. And so that's an issue that we have to work on, especially as we look at all the things that have taken place in the news most recently. It is of utmost importance that we take our time to learn how to walk in integrity. And that means that if we have issues in our life that haven't been dealt with, we need to ask God to help us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's not try to hurry up and run out into ministry so that, you know, we could be grand and glorious, amen, and we're still living shabby lifestyles.
Amen. Preach.
Amen. So that's not what we want to do. All right, the second thing about this class, this is a safe place, and I want to reiterate that. This is a safe place to exercise your gifts, okay, and share the word of the Lord without being harshly criticized, okay? Now, there's going to be times when people will say things that sound crazy. You know, it might make us laugh. You know, we might say to ourselves, oh, my God, he was off. Oh, my God, she was off. But we're not going to criticize one another. If we don't have a forum for us to come together to learn how to get it right, then when will we be able to get it right? Okay, and so that's what we want to make this be. There's going to be times where I'm going to be teaching, but then during this class, we will be doing what we call prophetic activations. Now, I know in some school of prophets, they have prophetic activations, and their activations consist of you walking up to somebody that you don't know and blindfolding you, and you trying to guess a prophecy for them. That is not a prophetic activation. That is soothsaying.
Thank you.
And we will not be doing that here.
Amen.
Okay? All right, can y'all hear me?
Amen. Amen.
All right. The next thing is that this is an environment where the Spirit of the Lord is welcome, and we want God to rule in our midst. And although we're going to have God moving in our midst, it's not going to be a bunch of folks trying to just, well, the Lord spoke to me, and we're going to spend an hour speaking in tongues. We're not doing that. We're going to learn. We are coming together so that we can learn. Now, this is School of Prophets, and school is where you learn.
Amen.
This is not a prophecy group where we just want to prophesy to each other, but we want to learn spiritual truths, biblical truths that are going to help us in our everyday walk with God so that we can become men and women of God that walk in integrity. And you know, we want to be able to speak the word of the Lord and at least have a holy lifestyle that back up the word. Amen.
Amen.
So that's what we want to be able to do. Okay, the next thing is that, you know, this is a Bible-based teacher ministry. And I cannot overemphasize that. I'm not going to be giving you a whole bunch of conjecture and a whole bunch of my opinion. There will be times where I will share with you my opinions about different things, and I will also ask for your opinion. But for the most part, we will stick to the book, because if you can book it, you can live it. And if you can't find it in the book, then we ain't doing it. And that's where we have to stick with that, because we want to always, you know, I've seen a lot of with the prophets and even doing School of Prophets, I've had people, you know, when I do a physical class in a physical, you know, sanctuary in a physical classroom or whatever, you know, I've seen where people come together and all they're interested in is, you know, spooky stuff, you know, stuff that give them goosebumps and makes the hair stand up on the back of their back, you know, and whatever. But, I mean, we got to have the word. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible says whether there be prophecies, they're going to cease. But we know that the word of God is going to stand forever. And so that's what we have to learn how to do is stand on the word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so I'm a part of a local church. Amen. I'm a pastor and I have an apostle that's covering me. Amen. My husband is my apostle. Amen. And
amen.
So we are in biblical order. Amen. We are in biblical alignment. Amen. I'm not, you know, no renegade trying to start off something, you know, running off in the blue, and I'm not accountable to somebody. So that accountability is important, and it's my prayer that through our teaching and through our fellowshipping that we will be able to learn how to be accountable one to another and not criticize each other, learn how to suffer along with each other as we're learning our way, you know, in the things of God. Okay, so God is not speaking to us 24 hours a day. I wish he were, you know, but he's not speaking to us 24 hours a day. Okay, so let's not try to, you know, come in here and have stuff all twisted up and, you know, we got all this revelation and can't sit still and be taught. We got to get this word in us. It's important. Okay, so what this class is not is what I want to handle. I want to deal with now. This class is not a class to teach you how to prophesy. I cannot teach you how to prophesy. I can teach you to walk in integrity. I can teach you how to walk in obedience, you know, through the scripture, through the examples that are given in scripture, but I cannot teach you to prophesy. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, teaches us to prophesy. How do we learn how to do that? By learning to obey his voice and speak when he speaks. Amen. Okay, this is also not a place for renegades to try to come in and bypass the authority of the local church, to try to bypass your pastors, you know, and the authority of your pastors, okay? This is important that, you know, because right now we're dealing with an age that is like, you know, the anti-church movement, you know, and Jesus left, you know, the church in place, okay? And so I believe in the church, hallelujah. You know, and so we need to stick with the local church, amen, because we need a place to be able to grow and to exercise. But what I desire to be able to do is that what you receive here, that you don't go back to your local church and try to take over and tell your pastor, well, God gave me a vision, you know, God spoke to me. That's not what this is for. This is for you to do that. Whatever you receive should enhance whatever your pastor, your leaders in your church are already sharing with you. Okay? So it's not to make you crazy and kooky and you know, start going off on people. Amen. But it is to help to cause you to be stable and grounded in God.
Amen.
All right? And so the last thing is this is not a place where being critical and speaking ill of other people is going to be allowed. Just because you may not see things the way someone else sees it, that does not give us license to be critical of one another. This is a learning environment, okay? And this is what we have to learn as believers, that the church is, yes, it's a place for us to come and be delivered. It's a place for us to come and receive. But it's also a place for us to be taught, okay? This is our studying to show ourselves approved unto God. So we need to be able to have these things in place. But those of you who are enrolled as regular students in School of Prophets, I know you might feel, okay, this is very lengthy. Can we just get to the word? We're going to get to the word, but I want to deal with all this stuff because I have people who are going to be joining by recording. You know, they're going to be coming back to the recording, so I want to make sure I give them all this information, okay? We want to show respect for the opinions that are expressed by other people, okay? And if they're sharing their convictions, we shouldn't be in the background sucking our teeth, sighing, you know, oh, brother, here she go again, you know, We got to learn how to be receptive, because we never know, you know, what God is going to speak through whoever. You know what I'm saying? We don't know who he's going to use. So we want to be receptive to the Spirit of God. We don't want to be rude. We don't want to be use inappropriate comments. We don't want to gossip. We don't want backbiting. We don't want spreading of rumors. We don't want to be disrespectful toward one another, okay, because that's not going to be tolerated. We got to learn to walk in love. Okay, and the Bible tells us to love one another as Christ, as God for Christ's sake have loved us. So we have to learn how to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now we're going to get to the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, the first subject that we're going to deal with is walking, is how do we get victory, walking in victory. Now, I need to see... Do I have anybody online that has their manual with them already?
Ready.
Hello?
Yes, Prophetess. I don't have my booklet yet, but I want to ask, is some of the...
Turn your speakers down.
Yes, I'm having complications there, but I want to ask... Is the manual from 2006, does some of the things covered in that booklet will be taught tonight?
Yeah, not tonight. You don't have How Do We Get the Victory. You don't have that in the beginning of your book, right?
Let's see. No.
Okay, no, you have the mini manual. You have the mini manual, so you don't have that. All right, so I want you to get the phone and call in. Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to do some reading. Somebody's going to do some reading. Hallelujah. We got a reader that's going to do some reading. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about how to get the victory. Yes.
Oh, this is Sister Horn, and I wasn't able to get over to get my manual or to, you know, what we had talked about, Sister Horn.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I'm hoping that something came up very, like in 911, and I had to take care of that. But I'm still very interested, and hopefully I'll be over there by next week to get started, because I'm very interested and I want to do this.
Amen, amen. We're willing to wait on you, and so that's why it's good that we're able to record the messages. So it's well if you don't have it. I'm not going to you know, we'll wait on you. That's what we do. So we thank God for that.
Thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Providence. Again, I just three-way someone from New Orleans, and I'm going to check here on the line. Are you there?
I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Amen. We're going to get ready to start reading. I need for you to be attentive for a few minutes here, because while we are reading, we're going to read a few things, then we're going to come back and talk about it. For those of you that have your manuals, you need to read chapter 1. Chapter 2, 3, and 4. And we're going to deal with several issues here. I want us to also, those of you who have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Numbers. And I want to look at Numbers chapter 14. All right, I want to look at Numbers chapter 14 real quick. Because we're going to lay a foundation. And one of the things that we have to learn how to do is... It's important that this be in the beginning, because we have to learn how to walk in victory. You got to understand that as you are walking with the Lord, as God is speaking to you, as you're growing in him, the one thing that the enemy always wants to try to change your mind about is he wants to try to change your mind about where you are in God. He wants to try to make you think that you don't have victory. Okay, and one thing that you have to always remember is that that is the position. position that you are fighting from. You are fighting from a position of victory. You're not trying to get the victory. You are already victorious. Amen. And so in us being victorious already, you have to always remember that, because I'm going to tell you something, and I know some of you, you know this already from your life circumstances, that the things in this life will come against you and make you feel like you do not have any kind of victory. God is just not answering. He ain't showing up. Okay? And this ain't working. I remember him prophesying to me about this. I didn't speak to me about this. Why am I dealing with this? You got to remember that you are already fighting from a place of victory. And we're going to talk about walking in victory the way that Joshua walked in victory. And I want to read Numbers chapter 14. And I want to look at verses 7 through 9. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to get to the manual and read Numbers 14, verses 7 through 9. And it says, "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are a bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. For all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" And this is what you got to remember. God is already with you. And, you know, the enemy will have us going crazy. We'd be doing all kind of tripping and acting up, you know, because we're having to go through testing and trial. We already know the story about the children of Israel, how they went through going through the wilderness. Here God brings them to the brink of their deliverance here. He brings them to a place that he wants them to possess the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And they start bugging out because they forgot everything that God did for them. And now you got to ask yourself, how many times has God done something for you, and because you started going through, you forgot about what God had done? And it's important, because the things, you know, that we're going to have to suffer for Christ, these things are going to make us. But the only way that you're going to be able to become all that God has ordained for you to become, it's not going to come to you through osmosis. It's not going to come to you through prophecy. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to come through that breaking. It's going to come through us going through that hard place. It's going to come through us crying. It's going to come through us laying on our faces before him, because we are going through so many different things that we have to just trust God, because we can't trust what we see.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is the place. How do we maintain the victory? This is called, how do we get the victory? You know, and I think it's titled that because of the simple fact that sometimes we forget that we have it, so we think we don't have it. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to understand what position God is allowing you to stand in, that you are already victorious. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors, you know, through him that loved us. So you got to remember that. Amen. So what I want to do is we're going to get ready to start reading. Brother Calvin is going to read. He's going to start reading right now. Chapter 1. How do we get the victory? Go ahead.
We get the victory by walking as Joshua did. You see, back in Joshua's early walk as a baby Christian, he was under a leader, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, who raised him up and used him in the ministry. Joshua was taught by a man or woman of God. Joshua sat and learned the things of God from people who knew God. Then he went and did the works of God.
Okay, now I want to stop right there. Joshua was taught by a man or a woman of God. Joshua sat and learned the things of God from people who knew God. That is self-explanatory, and I know y'all know where I'm going with that. Joshua did not just get up and say, I am going to be Moses' successor. Amen. He sat and learned at the feet of Moses. He was faithful working with the man of God. He stood and held up his hands in battle. Okay? He went in and saw the land and went in and spied out that land. He knew what he was seeing. He knew the promises that God had given. He knew what things that Moses had done. He knew the words of the Lord that had come through the man of God. And he saw the word of God come to pass in the life of his leader. Now, even though Moses didn't get to enter into the promised land, he was still doing a training through the things that he had gone through. He was still teaching. He was still imparting into the life of Joshua while they were walking on their journey. And you got to remember that. You not going to just get everything just being in prayer by yourself, or else there'll be no need for you to have no leaders. You know what I'm saying? When you go back into the scripture and you read in Ephesians 4, which is really just going to be our theme scripture, we're going to be going back and forth to Ephesians 4 because we realize that God has given these gifts to the body of Christ that we might be edified. This is where we have to understand that we're not here just for God to shine on us and nobody else. God wants us to be able to leave a legacy through the things that we teach and impart into the lives of other people. Joshua sat at the feet of Moses. Joshua learned the ways of God. And see, that's the thing. We got to learn the ways of God. Before, when we were out in the world, we knew the worldly ways. But then when we come to Christ, when we get in Christ, we got to learn his ways. And we're not going to learn it all by ourselves. We need tutors. We need governors. We need teachers. They're going to teach us and train us and impart into us the things of God. And when we learn all those things from people of God, then we can do as Joshua did. And then we're going to go and do the works that the Lord has commissioned us to do and command us to do. Amen? But we got to learn how to sit at somebody else's feet. And that's the hard thing for us because we want to be a sign and a wonder. We got saved yesterday. Tomorrow we want to be a sign and a wonder. God gave us a traveling ministry. But we ain't sat nowhere. We haven't been still anywhere. Amen? And so that's not the will of God. Amen. Go ahead and keep reading.
We get the victory by thinking as Joshua did. We all know the story. God says he'll give the Israelites the land. They send out spies. Only 2 believe God. 10 didn't. Numbers 13 and 14. Do you remember how Joshua and Caleb reacted? The land we pass through is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Numbers 14:7-9.
Amen. I read down to verse 11. But this is what you got to remember. Don't you let the enemy intimidate you. You got to remember. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what you're facing today. You got to remember. You got to remember that the Lord is with you. You don't have to be afraid of no man. You don't have to be afraid of no devil. You don't have to be afraid of nobody issuing no threats out to you. You got to know in whom you believe. And if, when we get to the place that we just believe God and we believe God's word, we won't be moved by the things that we see. We won't be moved by the things that people are saying out of their mouths. Because believe me, when you get up and you start preaching the word of truth, truth is confrontational. Truth makes folk mad if they're not living right. Amen. Truth, amen, shines a light on you to the degree that it shows up the things that are not right and that are not like God. And so that brings a reaction. And so when you hear the truth or somebody else hears the truth coming out of your mouth, they're going to do one of 2 things. They're either going to get with that truth, they're going to embrace it, they're going to thank God for it, or they're going to lash out against you because they don't like what you're saying. And so you got to know that God has already spoken his word over your life and you are already victorious. Don't start tripping and lose out with God because you want to go tell somebody else because they said something about you and they said something to you, you know, because you was trying to fulfill the assignment that God had given you, and then they, you know, people making you mad, and so now you want to, you're going to tell God to sit on the shelf for a minute so you can go off. Come on, we got to get a hold of God, and our salvation has got to be deeper than our little attitudes. Amen. Our salvation has got to be deeper than what people say to us and how we feel. That's the big issue right there, how we feel. Because the first thing we say is, well, I feel like, and then we want to go on. We feel like whatever, whatever. We got to learn how to just hear from God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we got to see the same thing that Joshua saw. We already know the land that we passed through is exceedingly good. I remember what I saw. I remember that God has already promised this land to me. I'm not going to start tripping because things are getting hard. Now, you got to understand something. When God makes a promise to you, all the hell is going to fight against you to try to keep you from receiving it.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Ministry is not just about having engagements, being able to go somewhere and preach. You know, we watch too much TBN. We watch too much foolishness, so we can't even see what real ministry is. Real ministry supersedes the fact that you don't even know who you are. Real ministry is being able to endure like Moses did on the backside of the desert when nobody know who you are. And nobody even heard of you. Nobody even know you over here on this side of the vineyard doing any kind of work at all.
Prophetess.
Ministry is not waiting for somebody to pat you on your back and say, oh, honey, you did a good job.
Prophetess.
You got to remember that the land we pass through is exceeding good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, that's a good place to start right there. If the Lord be pleased with us. This is what Joshua said.
Prophetess.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if your speaker's up loud, but it sounds like you. So much static.
Yeah.
I can hardly hear and understand what you were saying.
I'm going to turn them down some.
Okay.
Hold on for a second. All right. Is that a little bit better?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I can't hear nothing now. Okay. Is that better?
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We're going to try to keep that static out the way. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so we want the Lord to be pleased with us, above and beyond everything. Not about, you know, and it's not how many engagements you get or, you know, who's ringing your phone, how many business cards you passed out. That is ridiculous. None of that has anything to do with whether or not God is pleased with us. And the scripture says if the Lord be pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. He's going to give you everything that he promised you, but he got to be pleased with you.
Oh, Lord.
That's what matters beyond everything else, pleasing the Father. Pleasing our Heavenly Father. Not worried about people's ideas. Not worried about, you know, the way that they tell you on TV you're supposed to do ministry. Let's just forget about all of that. Let's forget about everything that we have ever seen on television about church and about ministry. Because guess what? That's the wrong concept.
Amen.
That's the wrong concept. That ain't even what God has really ordained. And I was saying to, you know, in our last podcast, if God has really given you a message, you don't care if nobody can afford to get you to their church. If God gave you a message for real, you're excited and you want somebody to receive this message. So if you got to pay your own way, you go.
Come on,
bring that message.
That's right. Amen.
And the thing about it is, we're running out here, we really don't have no message. We got a bunch of mess, but we don't have no message.
Amen.
Come on, God.
Amen.
We're trying to do what everybody else is doing. Forget about the patterns that you have seen. We don't want to follow those patterns. We want to look in the Word and find a holy, sanctified pattern through the Word of God, and that's the pattern we want to follow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The last part of that verse, going to verse 9, says, that protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. You ain't got to be afraid of no devil. You don't have to be afraid of people saying things to you.
Amen.
You don't have to be afraid of folks. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been some places where God has given me messages, and I felt like, oh, my God, somebody go start the car. Speaking of the Lord, people get up and walk. And you know what? Let me just say this right here. We got to learn how to not let the people cause you to switch your message.
Amen.
And God is going to hold us accountable for that. What you mean? You ever hear people get up and talk about, well, you know, the Lord, I thought that the Lord was going to go this way, and then I feel like we're going to go this way now. Mm-hmm. You know what happened? You let the people's reaction switch your message. God didn't switch your message like that. Because if you're spending time in the presence of God, he's not going to switch your message. If you go into his presence, he's going to tell you what the people need.
Amen.
But when we get up and we don't get enough amens, and we don't have an amen corner going,
amen,
we forget that it is God that has sent us out with this message, and we let the people,
mm-hmm,
we let the people try to tell us what is God and what's not God.
Oh.
And we'll get up there and start preaching something else, and that's not what God told us to preach, because somebody didn't say amen or somebody was looking at us funny.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to hold us accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hold us accountable for that. And I'm not trying to make you like, ooh, that's scary. No, we got to understand. You are on assignment from God.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua did not have no time. And you know what? I got proof of that in the Word. Moses, God told him to speak to the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got up there and the people made him mad, he hit the rock. And he kept him out the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get to go in because of the fact that he let the people switch his message.
Amen.
Don't you let nobody switch your message.
Amen.
All right, so now you got a biblical example. Go ahead, brother, and read.
Look closely at how and what Joshua thought. First and foremost, he believed God. Regardless of what the land looked like, regardless of the situation, Joshua and Caleb saw the things that the other 10 did. The difference was they, Joshua and Caleb, walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7.
Somebody get 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, because we're going to read that in a minute. Go ahead.
They believe the word of the Lord. Today you and I can do the same thing. We have it in writing.
There you go. You got to believe the word of the Lord. You got to believe the word of the Lord. We're living in times where the word is going to be tried. The very thing that God speaks to you, the enemy's going to come and try it.
That's right.
He's going to come and try to convince you. God didn't really say that. That's not what the Lord, that could be what God meant. Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing that the other spies saw. They saw the same thing. The others that were with them that went into the land, they all saw the same thing. But their perspective was different. They remembered that God has spoken a word, and they were going to stick to the word of God. And so this is what you got to begin to do, that no matter what, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what kind of trouble comes your way, you got to stick to the word. Stick to what God has said to you. Stick to what the Lord has spoken to you before you go out and do the thing that you're supposed to do. That's why folks backslide.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say God gave them a message, God spoke to them, and whatever. Then they get out there and start going through hardship, and then they can't deal with the hardship, and then they want shipwreck. Because they forgot what God told them. That's number one. And the other thing, your perspective is not on what it should be. I don't care. I'm going to tell you something. I remember one time we were out looking for a building, and I was looking at different venues. I don't care where I went. I could see church anywhere. I could see, give me a two-bedroom house. I see church right there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We got to learn how to see things the way God sees it. Who has 2 Corinthians 5 and 7?
But we walk by faith and not by sight.
And we know this is the, you know, some of us are from, what is that, Missouri? The show me state. We got to act like we got to see it first.
Mm.
Show me first, then I'm going to believe.
Mm.
We got to be a people that's walking by faith. Go ahead and finish reading.
We get the victory by doing as Joshua did. When Joshua realized that it was now his turn, he rose up. You and I can rise up above any circumstance, Remember, even Joshua must have been a little concerned about what he was going to do. Otherwise, God would not have had to tell him at least 3 times 6. Be strong and of good courage, Joshua 1:6. It's okay if we start to get weary, if we start to falter, even if we fall flat on our faces. What we need to remember is to get back up, brush off the dirt, and let God help us and strengthen us. For I can do everything through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13.
Okay, now let me look at this, and this is what you got to understand. Failing is part of the walk. I didn't say failure, because that's a whole nother spirit. Things not panning out the way you exactly thought that they would is part of walking by faith. Sometimes we can be believing God for something and it don't turn out the way we are hoping that it turns out, you know, and sometimes we get discouraged about that. But we got to remember that, you know, no matter how it turns out, I'm still going to trust God.
Amen.
I'm not going to look at just the things that I see with my eyes, but I'm going to remember the promises of God. And the thing that is so important is that even if we fall flat on our faces, even if, you know, we seem like God deals with us and he bring us to open shame in front of everybody. Help us, Jesus. That's hard right there.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's hard. That's hard right there. That open shame is hard. And let me tell you something. I want to share this with you about humility. Because if we're going to truly be, you know, people who walk in humility, we have to first learn how to embrace humiliation. You have to be humiliated to really embrace humility.
Amen.
Anything that has not been killed in you or humiliated, it's not true humility. It's a false humility. Now, if you walk around and say, oh, no, I know I'm humble. See? There you go. You're not humble.
Yeah.
Let somebody else tell you you're humble.
Amen.
Let somebody else see that fruit coming out of you. You don't
Amen.
Have to toot your own horn.
Amen.
But that's the one thing that I learned. And the scripture tells us, in Proverbs, it says, before honor is humility. And when you look at it in another translation, that word really means before honor is humiliation. There is that of being put to open shame. Look at the pattern that Jesus left for us. He was put to open shame before everybody. But he endured that humiliation because he knew in the end, on the other side of that, was the glory of God.
Amen.
And so we have to begin to look at that. We got to begin to embrace our humiliation. Yes, it's going to be painful. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be times we're going to feel like throwing in the towel. We're going to be, you know, we're going to feel like, oh, God, I just cannot endure anymore. But throughout all of that, you got to know that God is able to raise you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we believe. Amen. And that's what you got to believe. You got to believe that God is able to raise you up, no matter what it is that you're facing. Go ahead, brother, and finish reading.
We get the victory by believing as Joshua did. When all the other spies reported what they had seen, the people received the bad report, Numbers 13:32, and decided that they should go back to Egypt, Numbers 14:4. Joshua, however, believed God. He did not receive the bad report, but rather the true report, God. Don't ever believe that you would be better off where you just came from, whether it be the last move of God, Numbers 14:2b, or before you were saved and called out of Egypt. God does not stay still. He perfects.
Amen. God does not stay still. He perfects. You know, and that's the first thing. And I'm going to tell you something. I went through that same thing that the Israelites went through. I just thought that was just, you know, something that you just read in scripture where the Israelites said, Moses, you brought us out here to kill us. I mean, when the Lord first called me and he was speaking to me and speaking in my ear and saying that I was his prophet and he ordained me, that didn't come with no great prophecy, nobody throwing no roses on the floor and me walking around in some robe and people taking pictures of me and putting crowns on my head. Amen. That didn't come from that. Amen. When God began to speak that to me, I remember. I went through a period where every day I felt like, oh, my God, are you going to kill me? I mean, I was experiencing a death. I felt like something in me was dying. I felt like when I got up in the morning, this was going to be my last day today. Because the Lord was killing some things in me, and I really thought, okay, Lord, where's the trap door? Have you ever been through so bad where you thought, like, okay, there's a trap door here. This can't be. I mean, it's something to this that I know that, okay, the bottom is about to fall out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to learn that God is not about playing tricks on us. He is not about trying to play no games. Amen. His whole thing is he wants to be able to get the glory out of our lives. And in order for him to do that, we got to suffer a death. We got to suffer a death. There's things in us that have to be put to death. We got to deal with that humiliation. It is necessary. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, brother. Finish reading.
We get the victory by looking forward. Joshua believed the next move of God would be even greater than the last. After all, they were going into the promised land, no more wilderness, according to Joshua 1:1-11. Do you believe as Joshua did, or are you looking back to the good old days? If you are wanting the things of the last move of God, then I'm sorry to say that you are looking to the old guard. After Moses died, the Lord no longer performed mighty and miraculous signs through just one man. Instead, he performed them among his people, Joshua 3:5. Yes, he continued to raise up leaders, but now the Israelites were moved from a signs and wonders time to a prophetic time. That does not mean that God stopped doing miracles. No, rather admit that the people started getting involved.
Okay, so now this is bringing us up to where we are even today. All right, God has put these gifts. When you read Ephesians 4, he put these gifts in the body so that we would all exercise. But instead, we come to church and bleed the pastors to death. And we expect everything to come across the pulpit. We suck the life out of our leaders. And
amen.
We don't do anything ourselves. We don't have a prayer life. We don't have a fasting life. God help us. We don't read our Bible. Unless it's Wednesday night Bible study or there's Sunday morning service. And we're looking for the pastor to do everything. But God has given you the same Holy Ghost that he's given the pastor.
Yes, yes.
It may be that you are here to follow, but nevertheless, when you come into the house, you should be coming to exercise. You should be coming to pour out what God has imparted in your spirit during the week that you have spent in prayer seeking him.
Amen.
Amen. So that at the end of the service, that there not be a need in the house.
Amen.
But because we got our mind set on the one-man show, I'm doing my conference,
amen,
I'm preaching, I'm taking up the offering, I'm singing in the choir, I'm praying for everybody, I'm doing everything by myself. The body cannot function with just one member doing everything. We got to learn how to flow together in unity.
Amen. Amen.
Flow together in unity.
Yes.
Amen. If my heart decided to stop pumping, the rest of my body is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If my brain does not operate properly, my body is in trouble. So we have to begin to allow ourselves to function as a body. Amen. Let's begin to look forward. Stop looking back to the old thing. Stop looking for God. Well, I remember when I first got saved, the Lord moved like this, and the Lord moved like that, and the Lord did this. What did he do today? You still talking about old manna.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me God hasn't done anything new in your life? It's time for you to go back to the drawing board.
Amen.
It's the only thing you testifying about is when you first got saved and how God used want to give us a new wine, and he want to give us a new wineskin. And he don't want us to meditate on that old stuff. He want to give us something fresh, something relevant, something, and amen, that's going to speak to us right now, right where we are. And if we get our mindset that we operate as a body, then we'll begin to flow in the things of God, and there won't be any need in the house, and the pastors won't die early death. Amen. Our leaders will have longevity. Amen. We'll have a strong church body because we're not looking for big eyes and little U's. We're learning how to function together.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, go ahead and read.
What that means for today is that you will see less and less of great miraculous healings and deliverances by great ministries and more of the lay people actively participating. An example of this would be Charles and Francis Hunter with their healing teams of ordinary people. Don't be dismayed. Be joyful. God is raising his church from a place of relying on one man to a place of all men relying on him.
Amen. Amen. And if you look back in the book of Acts, you will see. And Jesus had to remind them, even in the Gospels, he had to remind them that I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Don't
Amen.
Get it twisted. You're not the only one with the power.
Amen.
Amen. God wants us to be able to flow as a body. And because we don't really see body ministry, you know, in our churches, we've become accustomed to, you know, this religious thing. You know what I'm saying? So when you know, that's where there's so many problems with people calling themselves prophets or whatever today, because a lot of times the churches fight against it because it's either one and, you know, one extreme or the other. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's either we are out of control, want to take over the services, or we prophesy and our words come to pass, but we're not subject to nobody. And so
Amen.
We got to get to a place where we learn how to function together. Amen. And it's not about one person. It's about a body. Okay? And I want to read something to you. What was so special about Joshua? It was nothing special about Joshua. He wasn't special, and God just chose him out because he had, you know, he had nice hair. He had pretty teeth. He had a nice smile. His mom and dad were affluent people. That wasn't it. Amen. God didn't choose him for any of those external reasons. Amen. Go ahead and read.
Chapter 2.
Uh-huh.
There is nothing special about Joshua except that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly, Numbers 32 and 12. He was fully committed to the Lord, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua 24 and 15. He walked by faith, not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the
Kenizzite,
and Joshua, son of the Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly, Numbers 32 and 12. He had reverence, deep respect, and admiration for the things of God, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence, Joshua 5 and 14. He was obedient as the Lord commanded his servant Moses. So Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua 11 and 15.
Now let me ask you a question. Is any of this your testimony? Is any of this just your testimony? Can your pastor say that anything that he have asked you to do, that you do it without arguing? Do you got 20 questions? Or why I gotta do this? Or why so and so? Why you let so and so? And see, I'm gonna tell you something. This is how we expose ourselves.
Amen.
This is how we expose how immature we are. This is how we expose that we really not where we think we are. Because we start murmuring and complaining
mm-hmm.
because somebody else is doing something that you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua was one that followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That's all God is looking for. He
mm-hmm.
was fully committed to the Lord. He said to himself, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care what everybody else is doing. Y'all want to live like the devil? Go do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, I don't care who carving pumpkins and putting them on the porch. As for me and my house.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make up our mind. We're going to set the precedent. We're not going to follow the crowd. We're going to follow the crowd. We're going to do what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Amen. He walked by faith. Amen. Amen. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly and walked by faith.
Yes.
He had reverence, deep respect and admiration. That's what reverence is, for the things of God. Do you have a deep respect and an admiration for the things of God? Or are you bored? Okay? We have to, you know what I'm saying? We have to learn how to respect the things of God. Amen. The scripture says, as the commander of the army of the Lord, he said, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. Look, he wasn't looking at, look, I am over the army. I ain't bowing to nobody. Amen. We forget that just because we feel that because we're in authority, we forget that we got to be under authority.
Amen.
Joshua didn't get the big head. He realized that I'm doing whatever I'm doing is because God called me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I'm gonna do this as unto His glory and His honor. And I'm not gonna get the big head and forget that it's not me who called me. He called me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. He was obedient as the Lord commanded His servant Moses. So Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it. Whatever
Amen.
Moses told Joshua to do, he did it.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't suck his teeth and roll his eyes and stomp off. I got to do that. I don't want to be bothered with them people. I don't even like them. Come on now. We got to grow up. This is about the body. This is not about us.
Amen.
You know, and it's important that we realize that. It's important that we deal with these issues. Amen. Because inside, it's because we're really intimidated by other people because we're not sure of ourselves. We're not sure, and we don't remember that it's God that has called us. We don't remember, and we don't spend the time with God like we should, so we start getting in our flesh.
Amen.
And the devil starts speaking all kind of crazy stuff to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So what it all boils down to is this. It is one thing to be circumcised in the flesh, but it's quite another to be circumcised in the heart. Joshua was fully committed to serving the Lord, to obeying and worshiping Him. And this should be our goal. This is what our goal should be, that we're going to serve God. We're going to worship God. We're not going to let anything get in the way of our worship. Because that's what's on the forefront. Not our titles, not what we have been called to do. Amen. Not what who we think we are. The most important thing is that we worship God and that we be committed to serving God and that we obey Him.
Amen.
That's what we gotta do.
Yes.
So this is about Jesus. This had nothing to do with us. He could have chose anybody. He could have chose anybody. Amen. So now I want to talk about real quick what is the victory. The victory is possessing your promised land. Now, it don't necessarily have to be a plot of land. Whatever God has promised to you, whatever He has spoken over you, that could be your children being saved, your husband being saved, believing Him for finances, for a job, to pay your bills, to do whatever. Amen. Or being able to walk out your call, the thing that He's called you to do. That could be your promised land.
Oh.
Amen. And it's only a promised land while you're looking at it from afar off. You should be possessing that thing. And when you know that God has called you to do something, you should be pouring your life out to be all that He has called us to be. We go to school to get education. We go and, you know, and I went back to school. That's all right. But listen, the whole idea is, what are you putting toward, you know, your walk with God?
Amen.
To try to become
Amen.
All that He has commanded you to be. Are you spending time with Him? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time, amen, seeking Him? Are you trying to find materials that speak to you concerning what, you know what I'm saying, God has called you to be? Or are you just waiting for God to just come out of heaven and overtake you?
Jesus.
Come on now. We think that He's going to send us, He's going to send Gabriel, and Gabriel going to come and speak to me. You don't even have a prayer life. Gabriel ain't coming to visit you.
Hey, yeah. Come on.
Come on now.
Amen.
Absolutely not.
It's about getting close to God. And now listen, I'm not trying to be critical. I don't want to be critical. Amen? I don't want to be critical, but I want to be honest. We got to be honest. We got to tell ourselves the truth.
Amen.
We got to stop sugarcoating it. We got to stop playing games. Amen, man. And when you read, amen, in Isaiah, when he starts talking about, amen, the kind of fast that God has chosen, he says you need to learn how to stop hiding yourself from your own flesh.
That's right.
Jesus.
And when
thank
you stop
you,
hiding from yourself,
thank you, Jesus.
When you stop hiding from yourself, then God is going to begin to speak to you. Then he's going to begin to reveal himself to you. But you got to stop hiding out behind your own flesh.
Amen. You're tired.
Because our flesh wants to be pet. I got some flesh. I know how my flesh acts. I know my flesh is ugly. We ain't talking about no proper stuff. Praying is a trip. She need to be delivered. She got to stay in prayer. I'm talking about myself now.
Amen.
Yes.
Forget about what we want to call ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves.
Yes.
We got to tell ourselves the truth. Say, God, you know me, God. You know me. You know me, Lord, that if I don't stay in your presence, I'm liable to tell folks what's stopping to get off on the bus.
Amen.
And I'm not going to say it nicely.
That's right.
So this is why we got to be honest, and we got to remember, amen, that there's a promised land that we got to possess.
Amen.
It's not just heaven, y'all.
Amen.
It's not just heaven. Amen. Somebody, you know, and it's not derogatory, but somebody sent me an email, and it was asking about what was School of Prophets, and I don't know if they're on the line tonight, but I invited them to come on the line and listen so they could learn what School of Prophets was. And then he was asking, you know, the question, do I desire, is my cry, and I want to go home to be with the Lord. And I told him, no, that's not my cry right now. You know why? Because I know that God has set me in the earth to do an assignment.
Too much work.
And when I complete my assignment, then that's going to be my cry.
Amen.
Come on now. Let's not get deep and wonderful. Some of us, we know we ain't even ready to go to no heaven.
No.
Even though Jesus, stop lying.
I know that's right.
We ain't even get our attitude right. My God.
Amen.
But the real thing is, we got to be honest. Look, God has set us here for an assignment. He has set us here to do a work for him. Amen.
Right.
And we got to get our mind off of this world. We got to learn how to wear this world loosely. We cannot let this world wear us out.
Thank you,
Jesus. So we got to learn how to let God be God in our life. We got to show this world what it means to walk with God. Because they think they know, but they don't know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Victory is crossing through the raging waters of the mighty river. That's Joshua 3:15-16. The river symbolizes any hindrance that was standing in the way of your walk with God. Anything that will stop you from going with God. Now, just sit and think, how many things stopped you from going with God today? What were you supposed to do for God today that you didn't do because the water got in your way? Amen. That water could be your attitude. It could be thoughts that were going through your mind. It could be involvement with other people. It could be your test and your trial that you're facing right now.
Amen.
Don't let nothing stop you from getting to God. Nothing.
Nothing.
And we have to persevere and go after God like we do if we knew that we had a job to be, you know, that we had to be to. Amen. And you don't know how you're going to get to work. Amen. But you find a way to get to work.
That's right.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Did you find your way to God yet? Did you find your way to his presence? Did you find your way to the place where God has called you to be? And see, here's the real deal. Some of us, I mean, we got a prayer life. Thank God for our prayer lives. But we're not praying at the capacity that we could pray. We're not studying the word to the capacity that we could study. We're not spending the time with him to the capacity. Let's reach our capacity. Let's get to the place, amen, that we just pour out everything for God. Not your job first. And this is why I say to the saints, amen, God does not want to be first in your life. Because, see, you can reprioritize anytime. He wants to be everything. But, see, everything is everything.
Okay.
He don't want to be first, because today he could be first, tomorrow my job might be first. So we got to work on our priorities. Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The victory is seeing every promise of God come to pass in your life and to participate in them. You got to see the promises of God. And if you go see them, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's some work that has to be done. It's some working out that we got to do. Amen. We're not going to just be transformed into his image by osmosis. We're not going to go to bed tonight and wake up looking like Jesus. It ain't happening.
That's right.
That is just not going to happen. Would to God that we could just do that. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. That would be so easy.
Amen.
Amen. But it don't work like that. We got to let God take us through the process because some of us are just as quacky as we want to be. Quacky. Unstable. Crazy.
Amen.
We got a call on our life. Help us, Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Walk, the victory is walking in the promised land with a great many other believers. You're not going in by yourself. It's not about us four no more. Amen. It's about trying to get somebody else in the kingdom. Trying to see somebody else make it, you know what I'm saying, and be saved. See somebody else reach their purpose in God. I'm trying to get my name. Like, what you talking about? That's God told me I'm going to be on TBN. Oh, yeah? That's your goal? That's your highest goal, TBN? Wow. Come on, we got to want something more in God. What you going to do if TBN go bankrupt?
Come on, man. Preach.
Amen. The victory is in knowing that no matter what the situation looks like, you're overcoming.
Amen.
Amen. No matter. I don't care what I see. I'm not moved by what I see. Amen. The Bible says that the things that are seen are temporal.
Yes.
But the things that are not seen are eternal. Do you have an eternal view? Can you see into eternity?
Yes.
If you're tripping over your test, it's because you're not looking into eternity.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've got to begin to look into eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because, amen, what's going on in eternity don't have nothing to do with what we see right now. Because this stuff that we see right now is going to all burn up. It's not going to be here always.
Amen.
True.
Amen. The victory is in us influencing people, not them influencing us.
Yes.
Amen. We are people of influence. Because the Spirit of God is on the inside of us. And we should be walking, amen, in the power of God, being able to persuade them of the things of God just through our lifestyle.
Amen.
And then if you engage them in conversation, look out. You ought to really be able to convince somebody and influence them through conversating with them.
That's right.
Amen. If your lifestyle can influence somebody, imagine what your conversation could do.
Amen.
Amen.
We got to look beyond what we can see. Amen. The victory is in knowing that the victory is already there. The victory is in knowing that the Lord is with you. You're not going through this by yourself. The victory is Christ in you, in your heart by faith.
Yes.
The victory is knowing that no matter what is said or done, no matter what we see or hear or feel, Christ is with us and will never, ever, ever, did I say ever, ever leave us.
Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I don't care if your mama walked out on you, your daddy, your husband, your sister. I don't care who left you. Jesus is not going to walk out on you.
No, he's not.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is in knowing that he guides us and he protects us.
Yes.
That's why Joshua was bold like he was, because he knew that the Lord was protecting him. He knew that God was with him. He knew it.
Yes.
You got to know beyond what you see, beyond what you feel, because I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you ain't going to feel like doing nothing.
Preach, woman of God. Preach.
You ain't going to feel like reading. You're not going to feel like being around the saints.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to feel like being around your family. You're not going to feel like being around, you know, doing what God calls you to do. Get over your emotions. Get over them. Bring those emotions subject to the Word of God. Get your eyes up on what you see. Get your eyes on eternity.
Emotions.
Get your eyes, your vision in eternity. Get in the spirit.
On eternity. Glory.
About to get in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Victory is in believing that God, that if God is for us, then no one and no thing can stand against us.
Thank you.
Do you believe his word?
Yes.
Do you believe God's word? If you believe his word, then you got to know that no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no organization, no government, no nothing, no demon can stand against you.
No government.
Thank you.
Glory to God. No demon.
Glory to God.
Nothing can stand against you. One thing. I'm going to tell you something. I had some notes I was supposed to be teaching from my notes. I didn't even touch them yet. I can't even find them. Hallelujah.
Right. The Holy Ghost
have his way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you,
amen. And we, I'm almost done. We got one more thing to touch on tonight, and we're going to be finished for the night. Amen. We got to begin, amen, to really keep our focus. It's got to be on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's got to be. No matter what, I'm going to tell you something. We got to remind ourselves that this world really is not our home.
Amen.
We are ambassadors.
No, it's not.
We have been sent from another country. Amen. That country is in heaven. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen.
It's
we got a different king than this world has. We're on a different assignment than everybody else.
Glory,
amen.
God.
Our assignment, amen, is to preach the unadulterated word of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We got to get to the place, amen, that even if it costs our life, oh, you know, we say, oh, for Jesus I live, Jesus I die. Stop lying.
Keep it real.
We can't even kill our flesh for a couple of hours and fast till 3 o'clock. How are you going to die for Jesus?
That's right. That's right.
Preach, prophet.
These tests start coming and we start going through these things, amen, that we got to face in this life. And the first thing we're ready to do is, I just want to give up. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. So then we start talking about we want to go to heaven. That don't make sense. Jesus endured the cross.
Yes,
he did. The shame. He didn't care about that shame.
No, he didn't.
Because he knew at the end of that cross. There was a promise laying for him.
Amen.
There was a solidarity promise to him.
Yes.
Even though the enemy, and when you begin to read in the scripture, amen, and I begin to, and I was studying Satanology, and some of you who are in the group, you can go to our group, and that book is on our group, Satanology, and I was studying some of that, and looking at really how the enemy, his plan was, he wanted to be Jesus. He wanted to take the place of Christ.
That's right.
Amen. All throughout scripture, you will find, amen, how every time there was a man child that was going to be born that had anything to do with promise, the enemy set out to kill him.
Amen.
He was trying to kill Jesus way back then, and he's still trying to kill him. He's trying to kill him in you.
Amen.
So it's not about you. The enemy is after the Jesus in you.
Jesus.
He's after that man child in you. And you cannot let him have him. You cannot let the enemy kill Christ that's in you. You got to let Jesus live through you. You got to let God be glorified. And whatever he want to do in your life and through your life, you got to let him do it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because you have been bought with a price.
Yes.
You are not your own. We got to embrace that concept, understanding that we are not our own. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God.
Yes, yes.
And if we don't belong to ourselves, then we don't have a right to tell God, why do I have to go through this? Lord, and that brings us to the next part of our teaching, why me?
Why me?
Why me? Why me, God? Why can't you? Why did every time I try, I gotta go through something?
Why not you?
Amen.
You got the answer to the question. But another question. Why not you? And another question. If not you, then who?
Amen.
Come on now. If not you, then who's gonna do it?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We might be saying that because of what we're going through. We might be facing something now that's just tearing us apart on the inside. It's causing us to cry. It's causing us to make up, you know, we feel like we want to just pull our hair out. God, I can't take no more. Lord, I can't deal with this. Why me, God? But his answer to you is, why not you? And if not you, then who? Remember the things that you said to God. Remember the promises that you gave him.
Amen, amen.
You told God, yes, Lord. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want. You know all that churchy stuff we say. That we don't mean. We don't mean none of it. Help me, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Because it sounds good at the time. Or because, you know, we got the warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I tell the saints, amen, all the time. I tell the sisters especially, because, you know, us sisters, sometimes we tend to be a little emotional. Amen. And that's not saying that in a bad way, because I'm a sister. Hallelujah. Amen. But I know for a fact that sometimes we get the warm and fuzzies and we make decisions based off the warm and fuzzies. But what is that? Well, you know, when you start feeling, oh, I just feel so good about this. I know that this is God. And we make decisions and mess ourselves up.
God, come on, woman of God.
That. And then you want to look at God and say, God, how come I'm going through this? Well, because you had the warm and fuzzies and made a decision on how you felt.
Amen.
This is why we got to learn the voice of God. This is the foundation. This is the basics. We got to get the basics before we start talking about I'm going to prophesy and call to the nations. Everybody been called to the nations. Help us, Jesus. Nobody been called to that local area. Anybody been called to? I mean, you know. Hallelujah! Anybody been called to that? Anybody been called to their local city?
Yeah, to the street, the church on.
Come on, amen. Somebody got to be called to the mall and to the grocery store. That seems like that's where we want to go all the time.
Amen.
There are souls in the grocery store. There are souls in the mall. There are souls walking through all these different stores. Who's called to these people? Amen. We got to get this superstar mentality out of our heads.
That's right.
That's why we can't do ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. We look in the scriptures, amen. We look at Amos and Zechariah and Haggai. We call them minor prophets. You better get in there and read them books. Ain't nothing minor about the work that they did.
Amen. I know that's right. Amen.
And nothing minor about what work and word they were speaking in that hour.
Amen.
They were major in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
We should have never used that word.
Amen.
We shouldn't have. Amen.
Amen.
Just because they may have been called, you know, to Judah or something. You know, or because they weren't going to the king and prophesying, we want to call them minor prophets.
Amen.
The nerve of us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing minor about God's gifts that he has put in the body. I don't care if you're serving in the church and you're just standing on the door as an usher and greeting. There is nothing minor about the work of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Because when you are serving God's people, when you are serving in the kingdom, you are serving God, and you are, there's nothing minor about the work that you're doing. We got to change our perspective. We got to change our perspective, and we got to begin to ask ourselves, Lord, who better than me than to do this work? You want me to do this. You called me to this, and if I got to cry through it and boo-hoo through it, then so be it. But I'm going to look at this thing through an eternal perspective and know that I am already victorious, and I'm going to come out on top because I'm already on top. Because God always calls me to triumph through Jesus Christ, always. Always is always, y'all. Always is always.
That's right.
That's not sometimes. That's always.
Yep.
Amen. I want to read real quick Acts 10 and 34. Amen. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is of no respecter of persons. Amen. We all got to go through. God is not going to just make one person go through and, you know, the other don't have to go through. The Bible says that it rains on the just as well as the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We all have seasons that we got to go through. We all have situations that we have to face in this life. But it's up to us to have the right perspective and let God use this as a training and as a tool that sharpens us.
Amen.
We got to allow ourselves, amen, to be changed in the presence of God even as we go through. Even as we go through.
Yes.
Amen. Don't fall out because you're going through your test right now. Don't fall out. I mean, it might be hard for you right now. You may not be able to really, you know, enjoy the sunshine right now because it seems like it's raining every single day. Amen. But just be encouraged and know that it's not going to rain always. The sun is going to shine after a while.
Amen.
Not because they sang it in a song. You know, not because it's the verse of a song, but because the Bible says that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. So we got to just hold on and wait until the morning, because morning is coming.
Yes, it is.
God did not bring us to this place to leave us. He's not waiting for no trap doors. He's not going to pull no trap doors open on us. He's not playing no cruel games on us. Amen. God, amen, is bringing us through these things and allowing our faith to be tested so that we can go through for his glory, so that all the things in us that are not like him can be purged. So that, not just that, but so that we can learn his pattern and learn for ourselves and be able to look back, even as Joshua said, and say that we know that God has done great things among us. We got to be able to have that testimony.
Amen.
We got to be able to have that testimony. This is the foundation of us being able to go through. If we can make it through these tests, then we can be all that God has called us to be. We can walk under that apostolic mantle. We can walk under that prophetic mantle or evangelistic, whatever it is that God has called you to do. You'll be able to do that because you weathered the storm.
Amen.
But if you're not weathering the storm, lay your title down.
Amen.
Lay that stuff to the side until you learn how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Amen. Because God is not going to set no novice in authority. God is not going to set somebody in authority who don't know how to go through. We got to learn how to go through. We got to learn how to serve God, amen, through our tears as well as through our laughter and our joy.
Amen.
And that's the hard part for us. So, amen, if you've been asking yourself, why me? Ask yourself, why not me? Ask yourself, who better than me? Ask yourself, if not me, then who? Amen. This is what God is desiring of us. Amen. Praise God. We're gonna end our class right there. Amen. We're going to pray. Amen. And then on next week, Lord willing, we'll be right back here. Amen. And we're going to be talking about what's required of us. We're going to be talking about opening our spiritual eyes. We're going to be explaining obedience, what obedience is, what obedience isn't. Amen. We're going to talk about fasting and praying. No, that's not next week. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about sin and the manifestations of sin and the characteristics of sin. We want to get all of that out of our life so that we can be everything that God wants us to be. Amen. We don't want to just give ourselves some kind of title and say that this is the gift that we are to the body of Christ, and then we got shabby lives and we don't have, you know, we're not living in integrity. God desires us to live in integrity. Amen. And we're going to make it. We're going to be those people of integrity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Apostle Jackson, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Sir, would you close us out in prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Sure would love to.
Amen. Thank you.
Most gracious Father, in our most holy name, Jesus, we thank
you
and we praise you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord, for the coming together of your saints. Lord, we thank you for what your words say, Lord, about you gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfection of the saints. God, we thank you for the perfection that you have put into our sister, God, that she can share with us, God, and she can build us up, God, in the things that you have given her to give unto us. God, we pray that you cultivate our hearts, that this word might fall on good ground, God. Even the word that was spoken tonight, God, we pray, God, that you uncover our hearts. that we might be real in all of our dealing, God, that we may be honest with ourselves, God.
Yes,
if we don't know, we just don't know, Father.
Jesus.
And let us be able to speak to one another, God, with sincerity, with truth, Father, that we might say to each other, God, sis, I don't know, brother, I don't know. I need to know what needs to be done. Lord, let us be open with one another, that we don't try to put up false fronts, God, and hide behind our titles, but we be real in our dealings, Father. Lord, we want to be what you call us to be, God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we want to be able to lead the people, God. We want to be able to speak when you want us to speak, Father. We want to be able, God. Yes, God, we want to lay hands on the sick and they recover. God, we want to even raise the dead, but we want to do it because of what the scripture said. It's not by might nor power, but by your spirit. Lord, we will not take your glory, God. We will not take your glory, Lord, in nothing that we do. So we ask you, God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, give us the mind of Christ, give us the heart of Christ, that we may walk in everything that the words say, that we might be obedient and subject one to another, God. Let us not try to, Lord, put our ideals out here, God, but let us receive what you are giving us, God.
Yes,
let us
talk
that on our denomination and our religious faith, God, and let us be able to receive the pure word, God, that is coming forth out of this woman of God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, that you have placed in our life, God. Lord, we know that no coincidental things happen, God, that you're working in everything. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father, for allowing us the opportunity, God, to learn more of you, God. Lord, because I believe most of us, God, we just went out on our own, God, not because we didn't love you, God, but because we had an urgency that you was calling us, Lord. And I believe we got out here, God, and we realized, God, that we're missing something. So we're asking you, Father, to continue to bless us, God. Continue to give, God. Give, God, to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, God. We thank you. We praise you tonight. Lord, if there's anybody on the line that's sick tonight, God, anybody that needs a healing in their body, God, we touch and agree now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know the need, God. You know it, and we don't know it, but you know it, God. Lord, there might be a financial problem here tonight, God. There might be a healing that needs to be healed tonight, God. So we ask you, God, Lord, there might be children, God, that are not saved, not delivered, God. And you know we have them up before you, God, but we know you're going to do mighty things in this school, God, in this school of heaven, God. We know you're going to do great and mighty things, and we thank you, God. God, we call those things that are not as though they were, God. And we prophesy, Lord, for the greatness of your son to come out of this ministry, God. We thank you and we praise
you
in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say glory.
Glory
in this house.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank
you, thank
you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. We have prayed. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Oh, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank
amen.
You,
we thank
Lord
God
Jesus
for the man of God praying on tonight.
Oh,
amen. Thank God for
you
all
for
of you that join us tonight.
Mm,
amen.
Glory.
For
glory.
Some of you, amen, that you want to be able to hear the teaching again, you'll be able to do so, amen, by going to talkshoe.com and putting in the podcast ID and the class will be on the line there. Amen. Those of you, amen, who are taking the class, I'm going to be posting the registration form because I need to be able to do a folder for each of the students that are in the class. So please go to the group and watch for the mail at the group so that you can get your registration form. Amen. And I will also be posting your homework on there, and it will be due for next week's class, and you just need to make sure that I get it in my email box by next Thursday. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Did anybody have any questions before we get off? Did anybody have any questions?
Well, sister, I'm catching it, trying to get on. All this stuff is new for me. I'm not that smart on the computer. And I'm trying.